Our scripture verse this morning comes from the book of 1 Peter. We're going to be reading verses 1 and 2 today. That can be found on page 1200 in your sanctuary Bibles. They're on this, under the seats in front of you. If you don't have a Bible of your own at home, you can take that one home and make it your own today. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance.
Would you pray with me? Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditations, and the thoughts of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight this morning. Father, you are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Amen. I think it's innate to human beings to want to be chosen. As human beings, we seem to long for the significance that comes from being chosen, and we seem to long for the significance and for purpose that comes from knowing that we have been chosen for a specific kind of task, and especially for tasks that seem to be larger than ourselves. Now, throughout our marriage, I have taken great pride to remind my wife as often as possible, so it's nearly every day, that she chose me. She was not coerced. She was not under threat. She was not duped. Well, actually, she may have been duped because she didn't know what life was going to be like every day with me when she signed on for life. You know, like when my socks are again in the middle of the living room floor and I'm walking past them for the third time in an evening. When I walk past them the second time, I said, "Don't worry, I'll pick them up next time I get up." And I don't. And I turn to my wife when she reminds me that I haven't done that. And I said, "Remember, honey, you chose me." I like knowing that I've been chosen. And knowing we have been chosen is even more important when things are difficult. And it looks like hope is fleeting. And when the things that we have planned, the road that we want to take, the path that we want to take, is not nearly as smooth or as clear as when we first thought about it. Being able to say to someone, to say to our spouse or friend, that I choose you. We're in this together. We will do this together. You're not alone. I find great comfort in knowing that. Being chosen by another is a powerful source of comfort and strength in times of trouble and in times of difficulty. It is a powerful source of encouragement and a powerful source of purpose when we are unsure of who we are or what we should do. And the truth of the Scripture, of all Scripture, and especially of what we will be looking at this morning, is this: God chose you. The letter that Peter is writing is sent to the churches of Asia Minor. And this would be, in today's geography, this is modern-day Turkey. And he is sending this letter to them to encourage them and to sustain them through a very difficult time and very difficult circumstances that they find themselves in. In verse 1, Peter refers to these Christians as being strangers, and as being scattered throughout Cappadocia and Pontus and Galatia and Bithynia and Asia. And much has been said in trying to figure out exactly what Peter means by those two terms, what he means by being strangers and what he means by being scattered. And unfortunately, in terms of the first term, being strangers, the NIV text does us a disservice, because what it tends to do in translating that into English is it tends to make us think of people as pilgrims, as being here for a time, but this really isn't their home, which to a certain extent is true, but making a stranger seems to be to give some kind of disconnect between what they are here on earth for the purpose of doing. And so there are other translations that I think actually translate the word there a little bit better, and they call these people, instead of strangers, sojourners. They are people that are there, and they are living away from their true home for a time. But being sojourners, they are actually engaging in the society. They are engaging with the people that they are living with while they are there. They have a purpose. They have a reason for being there. The second term that Peter uses is the word scattered, as he's trying to describe who these people are. And again, the debate surrounding this term revolves around how is it that a Christian community grew up in this section of Asia Minor, in this section of Turkey. And you might recall, as we have learned about Paul's missionary journeys, he goes through Asia Minor, through Turkey, at least two different times. But he is going through the southern section of Asia Minor, and where Peter is addressing is in the northern section. And you might recall as well, I believe it's in Acts 16, that Paul desires to go to Bithynia. He desires to go to the northern areas of Galatia and Cappadocia and all of that. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, says, don't go. I want you to go somewhere else. And so there are a couple of theories that have risen up to figure out how did this Christian community come to be here. One of them is that some of the cities that are named in this region are some of the exact same cities that are named in Acts chapter 2 when Peter is giving his Pentecost sermon. And so it is entirely possible that there were people that were converted at that time that went back from Jerusalem to their homes and they led others to Christ through their own faith. It's also a possibility, and a very strong possibility, that some of the communities that are gathering and that are growing up, Christian communities that are growing up in this area of Asia Minor, have come there by way of some of the expulsions from Rome that have been going on during this time period. And so there again, they would come there, they would be sojourners, they are out of place, not where they would typically know home as something that is that they're familiar with, because they've been expelled from where their homes were. These are going to be themes that are going to be important for us to at least think about and understand as we progress through Peter's letter in the future. And during my times of the privilege that I have of being able to preach to you this year, we're going to work our way through this letter. And so we're going to come back and address some of these things later on. But as we spend time this morning looking at the scripture, we're going to spend primarily time looking at verse 2. And as we look at verse 2 of this greeting, Peter lays out a theological roadmap to salvation. And he describes the process by which we as believers in Jesus Christ have been chosen by God to be his very own. So if you're not already there, I want to invite you to join me in looking at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be focusing our thoughts this morning on verse 2. Now, Peter gives us three markers along this road as he moves us toward figuring out how it is that we came to be chosen by God. The first marker on our theological roadmap to salvation is this. Peter says we are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, I want you to notice something here, because Peter begins it very, very quickly here in verse 2. Each member of the Trinity, each member of the Godhead, is somehow involved in our salvation. In this first one, we see God the Father being involved. And what does Peter mean by God's foreknowledge? Well, at its simplest, Peter is referring to God's divine initiative to call people into relationship with himself. And frankly, regardless of where one falls concerning the idea of individual election or predestination, and there is much that could be said about that doctrine from this verse, what Peter is really trying to get at is to say that God, in his foreknowledge, according to his own initiative, has chosen a people for himself, a people to relate to and to be in relationship with. He is the one who has gone out and is beginning to draw in. He has made that choice. He has not done that because of any choices that we ourselves have made in trying to come to him first. He is the first mover. He is the one that is drawing us in. And in other words, the cause of our Christian salvation is not that we've reached out to a distant God. It's not that we've reached out to a distant God. But again, that God has chosen to reach into our lives and relate to us. And the reminder that Peter is sending to his readers and to us is that God, who had no need to move towards us, chose to do so. He chose to do that. He took the initiative to draw us into an intimate, loving, and redemptive relationship with him. And the promise, again, of the scriptures and what we see in this first marker is that God shows up. He has made the first move. He has not left man to his own devices and his own sin. God chose man for relationship. He chose women for relationship. And as we'll see in a moment, God has also provided the way and the means for that relationship to occur. We have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, according to God's initiative to be in loving relationship with him. And the Bible is clear to say that God gives us the choice to come to him or not. So how can a sinful man who has consistently rejected God suddenly change his or her mind and decide, no, I want to follow this God. I want to follow who I have been rejecting. Well, this draws us to the second marker on this road. And Peter answers this question by saying that we are chosen through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Well, again, the question becomes, what is the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work in our lives? Well, ultimately, it is that sanctifying work, that gradual but effectual removal of the power of sin from our lives. But so often we get caught up in talking about sanctification and in talking about this process of growing in holiness as something that only occurs after we have come to Christ. But I think that's a misunderstanding of the totality of Scripture's teaching. Because what Peter is saying to us is that teaching us, and it's what human experience shows us as well, is that the convicting of sin and the drawing of being drawn towards relationship of God is something that, if we think back on our own conversions, happened before we came to Christ, or at least began before we came to Christ. But again, the point here that Peter is driving at, and that he's encouraging his people in this region of the world, and that he's encouraging us with today as well, is that God is initiating. God has chosen you. God wants to be in relationship with you, and he will do what he needs to do to remove those barriers from your life. And for us, this is important to understand when trouble in our lives or uncertainty regarding our faith sets in. It's important for us to understand that God is initiating, that God is stepping forward. You see, it's far too easy to think in situations of trouble that God has abandoned us, or that he is not present, that he is silent, and that he is not there. And yet the teaching of Scripture over and over and over is that the character of God is one that engages. God seeks out rather than waiting to be sought for. And again, if we take some time to look back in our lives and think about our own progress towards coming to faith, we would see this playing out in practical ways. How many times did you hear the gospel proclaimed before you made a decision for Christ? How many times did you get into conversations with people about God and try to prove them wrong or ask them honest questions before you came to Christ? I think back when I think about this on my mother and talking to her about her own experience. And it was interesting because, you know, in my family, we grew up in a very non-Christian home. We never went to church. That was not a part of our background. We were not predisposed, if you will, to some kind of Christian faith. We just did what we did. And it was interesting talking to my mom after she became a believer. This was years later. And talking to her, and as she would describe and say, you know, now that I look back, I see that God was drawing me to him. He was drawing me to him, and at the same time, he was also preparing me for what was going to come. Because the seminal moment in our lives that drove us to church was divorce. My parents divorced. My mother was looking at life and saying, how am I going to raise two children? How am I going to make money? How are we going to do all of this stuff? I have no one now. And she would say, I look back now and I say, God began to prepare me for that, because the personality that I have is such that I cling to people and I'm codependent to them. And he brought a book into my life a year and a half before my husband asked to divorce me, from Dr. Dobson, that started teaching me not only about these issues that I have, but drawing me towards relationship in Jesus Christ. And it would be simple things like a card that she saw, that she gave to my father as a means of expressing her love, and actually triggered the desire in his desire to divorce. And she'd say, even that, God used that in my life to draw me to him. We are chosen by the foreknowledge of God. God initiates in our lives. We are chosen by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is preparing us for relationship with him. And finally, the third marker that we find on the road here reveals to us the purpose behind God's having chosen us. You see, in the first two markers, God is the worker. God is the one who is doing everything to make it all happen. But in the third marker, he comes back to us and he says, I have chosen you for a very specific task. I have chosen you for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Now, what does Peter mean by being chosen for obedience to Jesus Christ? Well, the work of the Father and the Spirit, as we have been saying, is not simply so that God can feel good about having performed some kind of cosmic activity. The purpose of the Father's foreknowledge and the Spirit's work is our obedience. That is our part along this road. The purpose is our transformation into new creations. We are not called into relationships so that we can have some sort of pedestrian or dull or generic spiritual experience. We're not called into relationship with God so we can say, I prayed a prayer, I'm okay, and now I can go do whatever I want to do. We are called into relationship with God. God initiates with us. He sanctifies us so that we can obey Jesus Christ. That is our purpose. Our purpose is to live our lives in obedience to Christ. It is to live our lives reading, studying, understanding, and applying this word to our lives. The goal of the Father's work and the Holy Spirit's work culminates in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. The goal of their work is our salvation. It is the moving us from death in sin to life in Christ. And Peter paints a very dramatic picture of this by saying that we are sprinkled by his blood. Now, that's an image that is largely lost on us in Western culture. We don't do a whole heck of a lot with blood to solidify covenants, to solidify decisions, and things of that nature. Although there are parts in our culture and things that we tend to say that still speak back to this. Like, we might say something like, you're gonna pay for that in your blood. Or I can't accept that because it's blood money. And it's talking about these pictures in which there was something that some kind of transaction had occurred in which blood was used to seal the deal. And that is what Peter is trying to say here. He's actually drawing us back, if you might recall, to Exodus chapter 24, when the people of God have received the law, and God now is going to make a covenant with them. It's called the Mosaic Covenant. And as the story goes, the people stand there and they say, we will do everything. We will obey everything that the Lord has told us to do. And so to make that final, Exodus 24 tells us that Moses takes the blood, the physical blood, that they used in sacrifice to cleanse the altar, and he sprinkles that over the people, saying, okay, that's the commitment you've made. It's sealed. And we likewise symbolically are also sprinkled by the blood of Christ. That commitment, when we say it, when we make it, is sealed in his death. In Christ, we are chosen for obedience. We are sprinkled by his blood as a symbol of our commitment to the covenant that has been made. And what we see Peter saying basically is this: you have made the claim that you are a Christian. Live like it. You are a sojourner on the earth where you are right now, live like it. You are scattered around in an area that may not be comfortable for you, or that may not have all the parts of what home feels like. Live like the commitment that you have made. And as we continue to progress through 1 Peter, what we're going to be seeing him saying is it's not just where we're living, it is where we are interacting with society that we need to do this. And that is really why it becomes so tremendously difficult at times to do what God calls us to do, because society is rejecting. And society doesn't want to hear about the gospel. And yet that is what we are called to do. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you who claim, you are making the claim to be a disciple of Jesus, allow me to remind you of this. You have been chosen by the foreknowledge of God. He has initiated in your life. You have been sanctified through the work of the Holy Spirit. He is drawing you into relationship. And you have had those things occur for the purpose of being obedient to Jesus Christ. It is time for all of us to live out our purpose. We have been chosen for it. And we are not alone. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for initiating in our lives. I thank you, Father, for reaching out to us and desiring to have relationship with us, even though we were the ones who turned our back on you, who lived disobediently, Father, who reject you. What a great gift. What unimaginable love you have extended to us in choosing us, in making us your own. Father, strengthen us for this task. Help us to do this by your power and for your glory.